Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up with Kelly Bartman and Katie Fritz from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. It's end of year giving time. There's lots of great stories that they have to share with us about what's going on in this past year and ways that you can really help yourself in your desire to be generous. So stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Advent Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading. Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you. But God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory, as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command, for God is leading Israel in joy, by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel, from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness for how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. The news this morning, Pat and Teresa Wingen were recently surrounded by other family members, Bishop Paul J. Swain and Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota President Mark Konzemius, as they accepted the CCFESD Stewardship Award. The Stewardship Award is presented to members of the CCFESD Board who exemplify what it means to be good stewards. The Wingens are members of St. Agnes Parish in Vermilion. You can read and see more about the Wingens and the award they received in the December edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, a custom-built 2018 Lamborghini coupe autographed by Pope Francis is back on the auction block, but this time with an online fundraising platform, not an elite European auction house. The Italian luxury car maker donated the white vehicle with gold stripes to match the white and yellow of the Vatican City flag to the Pope. In November, the Pope had put his diminutive signature on the car's hood. Then the vehicle was put up for auction to raise money for charity in late 2017. However, it turns out the final bidder at the Sotheby's auction in Monaco last May did not finalize the transaction, and the promised $800,000 sale fell through, according to information provided by Lamborghini. In an effort to still raise funds for a good cause, that is, Lamborghini has decided it will offer people around the world, not just the highest bidder, the chance to win the unique vehicle. Donations begin at $10 in order to enter the contest, according to the campaign online. A hush descended on the room as the band, a rambling collection of men and women of ages and ethnicities as blended as the instruments they played, settled into their positions. The instruments range from Latin scratchers and mandolins to African-inspired skin drums and a rustic-looking box bass, literally a large wooden box just shy of 2 feet, with a stout cylindrical mast protruding from one corner, normally to the bassist's breast. A lone thick string connected the box's center and mast top. When plucked, it sounded like a cannon with a cold, silenced look into sound to it. Until at some hidden cue, the first note thundered collectively, truncated almost as soon as it began. There was a pause, another note, brief, silenced, then the box bass belched like the early roar of war. Then the Latin-inspired melody released, surging like a battalion charging hot through a breach, like the one made by the Redeemer of whom they sang, who breached the walls of sin and death with a lowly birth. This group was performing at a mixed audience at a modest parish fundraiser, but traditional pairing forms, part of an intimate prayer celebration in private homes. This is a tradition that started in Venezuela and carrying a gift of song to the homes, just as in English culture. There's caroling, explained Julio Torres, veteran parang musician and vocal coach. He added that parang is indigenous to Trinidad.
You know, it's one of the reasons I love this time of year, Gene, is that you hear about these traditions from different places. You know, we're all Catholic, but we all have these different ways of expressing our faith.
Exactly. All getting ready for the big event later on.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we welcome back Katie Fritz and Kelly Bartman. This has become kind of an annual ritual for us towards the end of the year to talk about end-of-the-year giving for the Catholic Community Foundation of Eastern South Dakota. The two of them, of course, work in the planned giving area. And great to have you back.
Thank you, Jerry.
So it is kind of fun. I love hearing about opportunities that people have, because I do think this time of year people are thinking about, gosh, maybe I haven't done enough this mm-hmm. year. Maybe I should still do something. And there's just all right. kinds of opportunities to do it.
You know, if I can say it, we hear a lot of conversation, like you said, end of the year, how do we give, what are the tax benefits? But more than that, we just hear people want to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People, right. People think about it more at this time of year because of some of those tax reasons, but I've been doing this a long time, and it never ceases to amaze me how generous people mm-hmm. from South Dakota especially yeah. are.
It's absolutely incredible, and they need someone to talk to about it mm-hmm. and to figure out, well, how do I make this happen? There's just so many ways that we can help people, and they're always kind of amazed when they call us that we can help them make something happen that they didn't think could happen.
Yeah, I'm glad you both have said helpful things here, I think, and I'd never thought about it quite that way. It's like people need somebody to talk to mm-hmm. about it, but they right. do, don't they?
Oh, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
And they need to, you know, is this a good idea? Is this, even we get questions, is this enough or is this yeah. going to really help?
Yeah.
And it's, every single gift makes a difference for all the various ministries in our diocese, all the different nonprofits, all of our parishes. Every gift is important.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to realize, you know, your work is really to facilitate this. You're not mm-hmm. you're not lobbying for any
no.
particular ministry. This is really mm-hmm. donor-driven, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. That's yeah. our goal, is to be there to help people make the gifts they want to. Mm-hmm. And maybe we will help them in terms of, as Katie said, deciding what's the best way to right. make your gift, mm-hmm. which sometimes can make their gift larger.
Right.
And that's the other piece here is that there's sometimes people think, well, I'm making a gift, right? It's easy. It's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. I'll just write a check. But sometimes there's some technicality. Sometimes there's some ways to do it mm-hmm. that can be advantageous both mm-hmm. to the charity and to the giver. Mm-hmm. True?
Mm-hmm. Totally. I'm just going to give an example of something recently. There's a parish in the Sioux Falls area that has a capital campaign going on. And we are just so grateful. This priest really encouraged their congregation to think about the different ways that they could help. And one donor called us and wanted to donate a ring. And this ring had a significant value. The person said, you know, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. And if this could be our gift then back to the parish, that would be incredible. And so our office is helping this this couple dispose of this ring. It's now in our possession. It becomes a donation.
Right.
We're going to sell it, and those proceeds will go back to that parish for its capital campaign. So really an interesting way of making a gift from a family that didn't think that they had any resources at the time. Mm-hmm. But when after the pastor talked to them about ideas, they thought, huh, you know what? We do have something we could give.
Yeah.
So that's mm-hmm. pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And again, the ability for the foundation to deal with those intricate kind of thing. Sometimes they're tricky. Sometimes it's a load of grain or a cow or right, whatever right. it might be, right? Yeah,
exactly.
I know you've gotten those plenty of times in the past.
Many times. And especially because South Dakota is so rural, we see a lot of farmers who take in their crops and we have accounts at a lot of elevators. And if we don't have an account and a producer wants to make a gift at an elevator, they just call us and say, you know, we've got this gift we want to make, and we set up an account. It's an easy process. And
as long as they know they can do it, right? But
exactly.
I still think there's a lot of gaps in the knowledge,
mm-hmm.
particularly about that sort of thing and how you can do it.
Right, in that sort of thing. And I think we're trying to get the word out so more producers are aware of it. And, you know, just that they know that this then doesn't count as income for them. It becomes property of the foundation before it's actually sold. Mm-hmm. So it's literally a gift of your crop or your livestock or whatever.
Yeah.
In the same vein, people give from their individual retirement accounts. You know, if you're 70 and a half and you have to take a distribution, but maybe you're on that cusp of one tax bracket or another and you don't want that extra income, you can give directly to a charity. And we'll take care of it. It becomes a non-tax event, basically.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, isn't it? That you work hard all your life, and you're saving mm-hmm. for your retirement, mm-hmm. and then you get there, and you're like, wait a minute, I can actually be charitable,
yeah.
Still because mm-hmm. I'm doing okay.
And I think the biggest thing for people to understand is that even with their grain or with their IRA rollover, that you want to make it a non-tax event for yourself. And that's not saying that you don't pay your dues,
uh-huh.
but you would not want to, for instance, sell the crop, take the proceeds, and then donate it. You would want to give that crop to the foundation directly, and then it doesn't right. become income for you, and you're not being taxed on it.
Right. It's just as though you had 1,000 bushels of grain before, now you got 500 bushels of grain because you gave away 500.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Before
right.
you ever sold the mm-hmm. the other 500.
Right.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. And we are not we're not tax experts. We're not financial planners or attorneys, but we have those resources to help people with those questions and to make sure that everything's done correctly.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and this time of year, one of the reasons we talk about it this time of year is because, well, we just did Thanksgiving. We've got mm-hmm. Christmas coming up. Mm-hmm. We've got the end of the year for tax purposes. There's just a lot that comes this time of year that does make people think about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And It is. This time of year, again, I guess I go back to that idea that people want to give because they want to give. Mm-hmm. And maybe this time of year is because of taxes and end of year, but it's also because of the gift we got of Jesus. So God gave us a gift and we feel that that need. People, I think, just have a need to give back.
Right. Yeah, they do.
And I think one of the benefits for the Catholic Community Foundation is that people can trust it. They know that those gifts, particularly if they're from the Catholic faith, but I know that's not a requirement. People can donate whether they're Catholic or not.
Right, and they can donate to ministries whether they're Catholic or not, as long as they abide by the same principles as the Catholic faith.
So, my point of it is there's some trustworthiness here, right?
Oh, definitely.
And people do have a trust in the Catholic Community Foundation.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm learning is the great trust that people do have in the questions they ask and the things that they ask us to get involved in their lives. And it is truly ministry what we're doing. And we're building relationships with people. And recently I've been helping a single person who wants to get their papers in order, and they're starting to do that process of getting their will together. They're realizing that they don't have it all together and their assets are, they don't really know what they've got. And anyhow, our office and me in particular is able to help this person in a way that I didn't think I could, but I offered to help them get organized.
Yeah.
And so I've been spending time with this person and we're getting his life in organized so that he can be able to focus and sit down and get his things in order. And what a beautiful gift that we can offer to people. And it makes them feel so much more comfortable and so much better about the whole process and that we are truly trying to minister to them.
I love that story. It's a beautiful story. And it's one I've heard, you know, Betty Theobald, who used to be in the foundation office, still, I think, helps out from time to time. Mm-hmm. But she had stories like, endless stories like that, where you find yourself enmeshed in the person's life, in a sense, as you help them kind of figure out what they want to do with their with their remains.
Mm-hmm. It becomes not a job. As Katie said, it's a ministry. It's a good feeling for us as well. Because when you see the joy on that person's face when they start to feel that lifting and the release of some of the tension and anxiety that they've had for what am I going to do with this?
It becomes so stressful, and we can really help ease a lot of that stress and make it fun and filled with joy because they're sharing their gifts ultimately.
Yeah, isn't it? I'm fascinated to hear you guys talk about this because I think it tells us something about who we are as a culture right now. We're pretty consumed with our goods, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
And it's so easy to get caught up in that, collecting and everything else that we. And then we get to a point where, wait a minute, we realize that's not what really it's all about. Now, what am I going to do?
Now it becomes stuff again.
Yeah.
And then you need to clear some of it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can help in those fashions, and then in the same process, it becomes easier to discuss those other things. As you're working through some of the stuff, you begin to be able to discuss some of the process of planning, and you know, even making a will and deciding what's gonna be the things that I want to leave a legacy of.
I had somebody ask me the other day about their family wanted to do a donation to it. To a charity this year that helps their particular focus was the working poor. They wanted to do something for the working poor. And they were asking me about what are some of the opportunities around Sioux Falls. And I think about that because I think that's what you guys do so readily and so helpfully to people is identify kind of all that the breadth of the opportunities that there are to give.
Right.
Because you will always find something that really speaks to their heart, right?
Right.
Each one of us has a unique thing that touches our heart.
You know, we, at our Catholic Foundation Board of Directors meeting in November, it was very interesting. At one of the meetings, we were discussing this, if you will, a list of all these ministries that we want to support and have people help people support. And one of the comments was, this almost looks like a menu for giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just struck me that that's really kind of what we're trying to provide is the ideas. We're not guiding, leading. We're just providing you with the options.
And people will say to us, you know, like you said, I really care about the working poor. What do you know about organizations in our state, our city? And we'll do that research and we'll find them. And we'll share that information with donors, and we can really help guide them. It's always their decision, but if they don't know about a lot of these places, they can't help any of these places. So there's so many organizations out there, and we can be a service to help people figure out those places.
And, and on the flip side of that, we also can be the one-stop shop, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. Because we can do like a donor advised fund where someone can make a gift, even if it's a gift now at the end of the year, they want to get in before the end of this tax year, that can go into a donor advised fund. They get their charitable contribution now, and then they can have some time to decide what are those specific ministries they would like to advise us to make gifts to from that that fund. And so many people like to do that because they can tell us what they want to do. And then we take care of making sure these are all legitimate charitable organizations and then sending their gift.
And I'll tell you this, over the summer when we were making endowment distribution gifts and also donor advised gifts, we delivered a lot of those to the different organizations. And what a joy that is. I mean, how much fun is that to give people money? And money
people
that,
really like to see
they
it.
Really they really like to see it. Now, with the endowments, they kind of know it's coming. But with these donor advised funds, sometimes they don't
it's
even.
A surprise.
This is a surprise. Yeah. This is just, you know, a gift from above, so to speak. And it is, that is the best part, is to see their faces and to know what an impact it's going to make on that organization.
We're talking with Kelly Bartman and Katie Fritz from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. We're talking primarily about year-end giving. I do want to make sure people know it doesn't have to be a year-end. You can really do this
anytime. We're there all year. Yeah, we're here all year round.
Yeah, you can do it anytime.
That is true.
And sometimes it takes a while, right? Sometimes things are complicated.
Oh, very, very
much. It doesn't happen overnight in some cases.
Right. You know, we've had times where we've had to sell land. We've had to, you know, as even this ring that Katie's talking about, that's going to take a while.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So those things we're happy to do those processes and go through the facilitation of those gifts. But yeah, it doesn't have to be in December. We're happy to work with people all year round, and
giving knows no season.
One of the reasons I like to talk about this kind of stuff with you guys is that I think sometimes unfairly the Catholic Community Foundation gets labeled as an events organization. And you do wonderful events. I'm not criticizing that in any way. Obviously, Christmas at the Cathedral coming up, and we encourage people to buy their tickets if they haven't already to do that, because it's a fantastic event.
It is.
But if you think that's all the foundation is about, if you think all the Catholic Community Foundation does is these various events, boy, you're really missing the boat.
You really are.
The heart of what you do is helping donors.
Yeah, planned giving. And, you know, and we're now in our, we're going into our third year of having offices in Aberdeen, Watertown, and Mitchell is the most recent.
And working on one in Pierre, right?
Working on one in Pierre. And so
the news is breaking here, working on one in Pierre.
We are. We're looking for a planned giving officer in the Pierre area.
Yeah.
And to do the, helping people, facilitate giving for people. So we are all over Eastern South Dakota helping donors direct their gifts to what they care about. And so that is, yes, events are a big deal for the foundation. We sponsor a lot of events that help a lot of ministries within our diocese. But the planned giving office is doing just as much. It's a little quieter. It's not as flashy.
Right.
But we're building relationships and helping people give.
And one of the other myths, I think, that is always good to dispel is that this is for rich people.
No,
it really doesn't matter. I mean, I loved your story about the ring, right? These people didn't really think they had anything to give.
And it doesn't have to be a huge thing, whatever it is.
Whatever.
And it's a gift from the heart. Yeah. So any size, it doesn't. Right. It. And oftentimes we will find people who are in that position of, I'd really like to give, but this is all I have, in
right.
their words.
We hear that a lot. Yeah.
And that just is such a major gift for them and a wonderful blessing mm-hmm. for the ministry.
Well, we're people of the gospel, right? The widow's mm-hmm. mite. Is one of the most powerful gifts there is.
Right.
So size does not matter.
Size mm-hmm. does not matter.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people, I think it, they get scared, turned off, nervous, whatever the words are, to give something right now, and they don't feel they have it. But you can plan. You can, if there's things you care about, you can make a plan. And when you're gone, those gifts will happen. Or, you know, yes, you care about your children, and of course you're going to give to your children, but you can also put in those things that you weren't maybe able to do while you were working or here on earth.
Well, those of us of a certain age, which
yes.
I shan't,
we won't talk
shan't,
about that.
Shan't yeah. mention, but those of us of a certain age do start to think about those things. Mm-hmm. If we aren't thinking about them, we ought to.
Right.
Do some estate planning, some mm-hmm. wills, whatnot, so that, you know, it does happen the way you would like to see it happen.
Right.
And in that, one of the things we help with in that regard is to help people prepare. We, like Katie said, we aren't the attorney that can prepare the will or the trust document, but we can certainly help people walk through that process and be more prepared when they go to visit mm-hmm. their attorney or even sometimes go right. along.
Yeah, yeah, I've gone along on a few attorney visits with donors, and it's a nice, it's really an honor to be part of that process. And it just shows that the trust and the rapport that we are able to build with our donors. And
yeah, good stuff.
It's a great process.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, lots of good information this morning. If you get the Bishop's Bulletin, you would have seen, I hope, the annual report that was inserted into the middle of the December Bishop's Bulletin. Mm-hmm. If you would like to contact either these ladies or anyone else at the Catholic Community Foundation, probably the website's the best way to do it.
Website's great. The main number for our office is 988-3788, and Amanda can direct you to whoever would right. be the most mm-hmm. service.
CCFESD.org
Correct.
Is the website. Katie and
Thank
Kelly,
you.
Thanks so much. Always
Thanks.
Great to
Thanks,
have
Gary.
You. Gene, we talked about this at the end of the news, but I just want to emphasize again that the beauty of the ways that people celebrate this season of Advent. And as you said, it's really all in preparation.
It is, and there's a great amount of time left to get prepared and to take part in Advent in your own home.
Take advantage of the opportunities. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.